HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman, hosted by Carl Franklin. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 151, recorded live Tuesday, February 17, 2009. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. And by .NET Developers Journal, the world's leading .NET developer magazine. Online at www.sys-con.com. In this episode, Scott talks with Ward Cunningham and James Shore about fit and fitness.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes. I'm here at the Open Agile Northwest Conference, and I'm sitting down today with James Shore, Agile practitioner and author of The Art of Agile Development.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, how's it going, sir? And I'm also here with Ward Cunningham, inventor of the Wiki and CTO of AboutUs.org and one of the first practitioners of patterns and bringing patterns to the world. Thank you, sir.
It's great to be here.
So I think that we should talk about fit and fitness. And I think that although you, sir, are looking very fit and lately, and I understand you're doing a lot of bike riding, the fit and fitness that we're talking about today is a little different. So maybe one of you could familiarize us with those terms for those of the listeners that aren't familiar.
Sure. Fit is, well, it's a tool that Ward created, so maybe I'll give my perspective and then ask him to talk about it more. Fit is, as I see it, a tool for agile teams to communicate well with their customers. And of course, this can be more than agile teams, but agile teams really focus on communicating well with their customers. Fitness is based on fit. And a lot of people think of fit and fitness as testing tools, but I think of them as customer communication tools.
Yeah, the fit fits a creation in a short period of time to try to make a reusable framework that captured the essence of what I had done maybe four times over in the course of different projects needing to do this communication. In the past, I'd done it in frameworks that address the specific needs of the specific projects and weren't reusable in any way. And this was an attempt to make something reusable. And both Jim and I and quite a number of other people have put a lot of effort into fit, and then combining that with Wiki to be a repository of information, and that's fitness.
Okay. So to put this in concrete terms, this is some software that someone downloads and uses and puts into their workflow. And this
It would be software. The original was a Java framework, and probably, what was it, 10 classes or something like that, maybe 15 mm-hmm. classes, so not a very big framework. But more importantly, it established a style of testing, and we had the opportunity to implement it in multiple languages. So I asked Jim, who was into .NET much more than I was, to help me translate what I'd done in Java to .NET. And so Jim did the .NET version of the framework. And the idea is if somebody was converting from Java to .NET, they could save all the tests that they wrote because the tests would be written as a file that that Fit would read.
Okay.
The format I chose was HTML. And wanted to put the facts that were going to be the details of the test in tables, but that left all the space around the tables to describe why you cared about those facts, and that made it a communication tool.
Okay, so the prose around the tables is ignored by the tool, and the tables themselves are the data that drives the test.
Yeah, and let me give you an example because it's hard to describe, I think.
Yeah, it's still kind of in the abstract.
Yeah.
I think people are familiar with unit tests, mm-hmm. and people understand how to write programs to test things. But
So let me just sort of give an example. It's kind of magical what Fit does. And when you first see it, and a lot of people have done this, they get very excited about the possibilities. What you do is you write a document in Word or in Wiki, and it has a bunch of tables in it that say the software behaves this way. And you run it through Fit or Fitness, and those tables turn green and red, saying, yes, it runs this way, or no, it doesn't. And under the covers, it's actually quite simple. But seeing this happen where you've got a document that has pros and it sort of looks like a specification or a requirements document suddenly telling you whether or not it's right or not,
mm-hmm.
Is really cool. And it's I think really interesting.
So the way I thought about it is that we write a document that says what we desire. And then what we do is we run fit against the system as built today, and it annotates the document by coloring individual cells, red or green. It says this number is going to come up 55, and if it comes up 55, it'll be green. And if it comes up 57, it'll be red.
So what is the language that's in the table? Are these verbs and nouns that are known to fit?
It typically tends to be just facts. So if you were doing a financial software, it'd be easy. It'd be dates and dollar amounts and stuff like that. And, if maybe you're talking about some kind of financial instrument, you might have to run 10 or 15 cases. So you'll make a table that has 10 or 15 rows, and it'll have as many columns as you need to describe that financial instrument. If you have a different financial instrument, you make a different table with a different number of columns.
And how does this interface with my software?
That's what FIT does. FIT would read the table, read the HTML, and then make calls into your software to check those numbers, check the numbers, and then writes a new HTML document that has the annotations, has the color. And, of course, you change your software. Tomorrow you run it again, and you get a different document with different colors because your program has improved.
But you wouldn't call this a unit testing tool, or is this?
It's not really unit testing. It's like unit testing in the sense that we're going to call the actual objects that are present in the program.
Mm-hmm.
But we tend to write tests at this level, tests that are about the concerns of your customers instead of being about the concerns of your developers. Unit testing is very much about what the API is that the programmers have to live with.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, we really want these tests or examples. I prefer to call them examples.
Okay.
We want these examples of how the program is supposed to behave to be sourced from the customer. I mean, ideally, they're writing it because this is a Word document or a Wiki document. We want them to write it at best. In practice, maybe we're just saying, hey, can you give me some examples on the whiteboard?
Right.
And they're copying those in.
Okay, so the difference between FIT and FITness, just to be clear for the listener.
Mm-hmm. FIT is a command line tool that Ward wrote in Java, and then we translated into C#, and other people translated into other languages.
Okay.
FITness is a wiki package that originally called the FIT command line tool and now integrates its own version of FIT into this wiki package. So the wiki allows you to write your documents, do version control on them, and then it also has a little run button that says, execute this document and annotate it and tell me what's going on in the software.
Okay, so if I try to put this into a larger context of all the different families of all the different kinds of tools out there, we've got things like NUnit and all the XUnit style tools. We've got things like Selenium, also a FIT-like tool in that you put instructions in tables, but then it drives a web browser. It's much more unit test focused and lives in the browser, but sounds like what you're describing. We've got the different XSpec, RSpec, and different kinds of specification tools. If I want to make sure that my application is correct and complete, but I have this cornucopia of tools to choose from, where does FIT fit, and how do I pick, or do I bother at all?
Well, that's a really interesting question because earlier Ward and I were talking about what happened to FIT? And I think this is something that as people have struggled with FIT, is where does it fit? If you think about the tools you're talking about there, NUnit and RSpec, those are programmer testing tools and specifically unit testing tools. Something like Selenium is really an end-to-end acceptance testing tool. And FIT looks like either of those, but I really see it as a customer testing tool. It's not either one. But that's how I see people using it in practice. But I would rather see them use it as a customer testing tool. If there's something that you're having trouble communicating with your customer, like how does a financial instrument behave under certain circumstances, that's complicated and it's easy to get wrong. And you might program it correctly and you might have unit tests, and that your understanding as a programmer could well be wrong. And you want to understand what it really does. And that's why we want you to talk to your customer, get examples, encode those, and then execute them. That's my perspective.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. The one thing is, whenever we're going to have a conversation, if developers are going to talk to their customers, they have to find some language to talk to each other that is understood by both. And so as developers, we try not to use computer jargon, but as a customer, the customer needs to be focused and narrow and concrete. So we want to get the customer to be specific. So we say, well, don't tell us you want the interest rate formula. Give us some examples of the interest rate formula that we can check, because there's dozens of ways to compute interest. And that means that you might actually have to do some interest calculations so that we can see how our understanding of interest calculation is different than yours. And so now to bring this back to the language, you know, you're there sitting, okay, I'm sitting at a spreadsheet. I want to work up a bunch of interest calculations. I, as the customer, can decide how many columns there are for a particular example. You know, maybe I want to include certain date calculation methods, which can really follow up, you know, if you're working in what they call 33-60 time, you know, which, assumes every month is 30 days, you know, that's a real mind bender there in terms of a certain kind of computer algorithms, because every month doesn't have 30 days, you know. So to do the interest calculation, you can, you know, you need to figure out which months you're talking about to be able to do that. And the customer can do that as well as anybody.
So you're saying if there are edge cases that are really difficult to express, programmer or not, those edge cases are ultimately best understood by the customer, and they're the ones that should be expressing them in terms of examples.
Absolutely. And we want concrete examples, because what I've found training people how to use this tool is when you get these domain experts, these business analysts or financial experts or chemists or whoever it is that you have in the room, and you get them talking to each other and they get them talking to the programmers, I've seen two things happen over and over. One is, I can't believe the programmers didn't understand this basic thing that's at the foundation of what we've been doing for the last 2 years. How could they not know this when we're already 2 years into development? And two, what do you mean we're using this to mean that? I thought it meant this. So, you know, when you start getting into concrete examples, people, it flushes out ambiguity, and the domain experts actually start disagreeing with each other too, because a big part of why you see requirements errors in software is that we're trying to take fuzzy domain concepts, translate them into something that's really unforgiving. And when we allow that to be fuzzy, programmers fill in the gaps with their expectations and assumptions that may well be wrong and often are.
Okay. But the domain people, the domain experts, the customer in this case, may be thinking about things at a certain level. One kind of customer may be concerned about, you know, he may express his business rules in terms of buttons, and he say, well, the user will type here and then click there, and I expect this to happen. While maybe a physicist is thinking in much more abstract concepts, and fitness is ultimately going to be calling into code, going to be calling into the domain. How do you deal with that pretty significant impedance mismatch?
Well, one assumption I had is that they all know how to work Excel, and if we ask them to get concrete, Excel is a good way to do it.
Okay.
And so what we needed is something that could take information that was in that sort of table and be able to check it against the program. And this is where, you know, I'm a fan of object-oriented programming. I love objects, and I felt that the object's boundary was the interface. So I need something that could take a quantity that was in a row of a table, mm-hmm. and be able to apply that to an object, and then get a result back from that object and compare that to some other quantity in the next row of the table, or the next column, I guess it would be. And you know, to me, that was message sending. So I wanted Fit, the library, to be part of the application in the same way that the user interface is part of the application. But I didn't want to talk to the user interface. I wanted to talk to the same application that the user interface talks to. So I bypass the user interface, talk straight to the application. And that way, you know, unit tests do this too.
Sure.
But here I'm using that same interface for doing acceptance tests. And that made sense to me.
Hi, this is Scott coming at you from another place in time. Are you looking for an object relational mapping tool for mission-critical projects using Link and .NET? I wanted to share with you Genome. specifically designed for developing .NET Enterprise applications. Genome is a mature link-integrated ORM tool. It's been employed in numerous large-scale projects over the last 6 years. Genome was created for the .NET platform as opposed to being a port from Java, and it's thrived on platform innovation since .NET 1.0. Genome has supported Link since its CTP release in May of 2006. It offers several unique features, such as encapsulation and reuse of Link queries and expressions. You can really fully harness the power of Link while benefiting from your database platform's unique features. Compose complex Link queries, decompose the query logic in your domain model. Link supports all the major database platforms you find in enterprise environments like SQL Server, but also Oracle and IBM DB2. You can find out more about how Genome integrates tightly with Visual Studio and what tools Genome offers to reduce development time at tinyurl.com/trygenome, G-E-N-O-M-E, where you can also download a free and fully functional trial version. I hope you enjoy it.
I wonder if someone is trying to make Fit work for their application, if they might find themselves writing specific code to interface with Fit to make their application Fit-friendly.
Well, yeah. In fact, if you start out with Fit, then you tend to build an application that has a lot of, you might call them access points for Fit, or what I like to think of as internal modularity. And if you do it that way, then you'll find that Fit is a natural. Now, there's a lot of kind of awful programs that are, just a hodgepodge, and there's no single way to talk to anything. Mm-hmm. And the closest we can find to a standard interface is that they all, work through a web browser. And that makes a tremendous pressure to make universal tools that basically operate the browser under remote control. And what that does is that separates you from the objects in question. For example, you can't ask it anything that isn't in the output, when I'm talking to the objects directly, I can ask the object a question that isn't going to be in the output, right? I can get an answer from it too, because I'll just let that object do that for the sake of testing, that is the power of objects. Well, so objects are kind of had their day, and people are on to other things, and that's a technique that was important to me, and I think that it's something that was a little bit of my religion that hasn't really stuck.
Well, has Fit has its day, Jane?
Well, I said to Ward, I've been working on the C# version, and why don't I take over maintenance of the Java version too, and try to coordinate all this stuff? And that was several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, nothing's been happening with Fit for a couple of years. To be quite honest, it may have had its day. What I've found is that Fit really wants you to think about your code in terms of a domain object layer. So you take the knowledge that your customers have and you want to encode it in domain objects, which is a wonderful way of programming that has just never really caught on except among some of the intelligentsia.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause there are people that I know in the domain, the DDD and some BDD kind of communities that are rabidly enthusiastic about tools like Fit.
Yeah, well, domain-driven design is perfect for and it's a great way of programming.
Ward is snatching away the microphone.
Well, I just had to grab the mic, and it was Eric,
Eric
of Eric Evans, who wrote the book,
mm-hmm.
On domain driven. He says, "Look, this, you're describing here one more time this way you test things. You've got to get that out there." And I said, "Okay, I'll get that out there by writing a general purpose library."
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I'm absolutely aligned with that. And I think that's the right thing to do. And of course, it's a natural fit for people who have already drunk that Kool-Aid.
But why isn't it catching on? I mean, companies like Microsoft and others are building in all sorts of test runners and test drivers, and everyone wants code coverage, and everyone wants a red-green refactor, but not so much with the DDD and the Fit and Fitness.
Yeah, and it seems that in the teams I work with, it just seems that domain-driven design is a foreign way of thinking. And Fit, just like test-driven development, will drive the design of your code to more decoupled objects and to entry points in the system, Fit will drive the design of your domain layer. And if you don't have a domain layer, it's going to be challenging to use. And my hope would be that people who don't have a domain layer using Fit would learn to create a domain layer and do that. But in fact, what has happened is that they're turning it into a fairly bad acceptance testing tool through the web. And yes, you can do that with Fit, and it sort of looks like Selenium. And I think Selenium actually was inspired by Fit. I remember hearing from those folks back when Fit was first becoming publicized.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to do acceptance testing through the web, you have to really have sort of a procedural programming language where you say, go to this page, press this button, put this thing in, go in a loop. We're going to log in again, so we need a subroutine. Turns out that doing that in HTML tables kind of sucks.
Yeah. I mean, like Ward said, not everything is exposed via the user interface.
Yeah, and it gets very complicated. And it's so complicated, in fact, you need variables, you need loops, you need subroutines. It's so complicated that your customers won't understand it. So they're not writing it anymore.
Which brings me back to the kind of the relative simplicity of Excel. I mean, if everything can be expressed in a table of examples, why isn't that exciting? And you're saying it's ultimately because our software designs typically don't support that.
Yeah. And if our customers can't understand the Fit tests, and Fit is a tool for improving customer collaboration and really getting communication and understanding between customers and programmers, if they can't understand what we're doing there because we're not using domain-driven design, we're going through the web and it's too complicated,
mm-hmm.
why are we using Fit? Why don't we just use a procedural programming language and use JUnit or Selenium or Water or something else?
Well, see, now I'm hearing, Ward, I'm hearing Fit is dead, long live Fit.
I would say that there's a couple of things that I did that set the bar too high for Fit. One is I wanted it to be uniform across a wide variety of implementations because I saw it as a way for people to have mobility, so that they wouldn't get trapped in their own implementation, that they would be able to say, well, we're going to go from Java to .NET or from .NET to, Ruby or whatever, and we're going to take all our tests along with us because our tests are just HTML documents that have a bunch of facts expressed as strings and numbers. Now, to my surprise, producing a document that has tables with a bunch of facts and strings and numbers turns out to be hard, even here in 2008.
Nine.
If you... 2009. Wait, oh, hey, good.
Huh?
Yeah, well,
yeah,
that's
see,
one
I'm
of my
paying
problems.
Attention, actually, Steve.
Right. But if I think about it, if I needed to make a document right now that had nice looking tables in it, I don't have a tool on my computer that'll do it. You know, that tables turn out to be in a WYSIWYG kind of context, turn out to be a little too hard to do right. And I just assumed that that was a solved problem. I assumed that people could write documents that had tables in them and could maintain them.
Not business people.
Yeah, gosh,
not
darn
actual
it.
Suits.
Yeah, you turn that over to your web design geeks, right? Say, oh yeah, make some tables. You know, it's too hard for me. And if you can't write the language freely, then saying that we're going to have a communication tool that's based on this language is just dreaming. And so, very frustrating to me. But I will say that the ideas, I think there was an argument going on early, that Fit kind of stepped into. And it was like, is DDD important? Or, what is the role of automation versus, exploratory testing and so forth? And there wasn't anything to point to that says this is a good example of what can be done. And so I think there's been enough successes with Fit. People who say, oh, man, it has transformed the way we write software. Even if it's only one out of every five people who try it have that kind of success. Because those successes happened, it caused people to have another go at writing these frameworks. And I think, the RSpec is interesting. And I think Cucumber is one that really... is I guess a wrapper around RSpec. I'm not sure what it even is, but it's something where you write text files instead of HTML documents, but you get to choose your language very carefully to be understandable. And writing text files is within, the general ability of the tools that come with every computer, and so that it's probably more the way to go. It's a little more syntactic. And I think in terms of running Cucumber programs, if you want to run them through the browser, because what you really care about is, you know, browser anomalies, you can do that too. So there's a lot of versatility in the back end, and those wouldn't exist if it weren't for Fit kind of saying, here's a space and here's something to do.
So now I'm torn. I want to ask you though, Ward, before, as the creator of Fit, is Fit dead?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And I think Fit is going to be a small piece of software transition technology. You know, the people who bother to build those tables and recognize them as assets that are worth keeping are, you know, we have to protect their investment. They thought they were going to get an investment, and Fit will be around for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it isn't a flashy
okay.
in any sense. It's like, is there a community that is investing in Fit right now?
Well, in this room, I guess.
Well, you know, I'm not investing.
Okay. So, Jim, is Fit dead?
The dream lives on. I'm equivocating. I at one point identified myself as the project coordinator for Fit. I'm no longer doing that. Nobody else has stepped up.
There's no t-shirts. I love Fit. It's awesome.
However, Fitness, which was an early fork of Fit that okay. does the wiki, is continued to maintain. It's maintained by Bob Martin, Uncle Bob at Object Mentor.
Yeah.
And it is slightly different than Fit. I would love to see more focus on the customer communication side of things. But it is still the same underlying ideas, and people who want Fit will find a nice polished package over in Fitness. So if you're listening to this and you think, wow, that sounds really cool, go check out Fitness. If you've been using Fit and you want to keep using it, Fit's still there. I mean, it hasn't gone away, but I don't know of anybody who's still maintaining the Java and C# versions that Ward and I worked on.
So, you know, I learned a lesson from this, and you'd think I would have known it already. I hooked up Fit to a wiki for the purpose of writing documentation about Fit. But I was convinced that people needed, you know, dozens or hundreds of columns, and that Excel was the thing that was going to manage those columns. And so I wanted to be able to take Excel tables and put them into documents. And I knew that the table syntax that people were doing in wikis wouldn't stand up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out I was wrong. It turns out that the ability to collaborate among developers and customers, and especially between different customers, that the wiki technology was attractive enough that it was kind of the new ground that needed to be plowed, that there is a test repository and it's shared between development and the customer, and that it's as simple as wiki. Even if it is kind of a pain in the neck to deal with tables in wiki, it's no worse than the pitiful tools you have in your laptop. So collaboration was more important than the expressiveness of the languages that I wanted people to invent to talk about their problem.
And I think, I mean, I regret, and maybe this is because as a consultant, people call me to help them solve a problem. So I've seen a lot of cases where people are using Fit to do these sort of procedural through the web interface tests. And I regret that because I think the real power here is the domain-driven design and the customer collaboration. And even if Fit is dead and we're not seeing a lot of that, that's still necessary. If we're going to create correct software, we still have to understand what our customers need and mean. We still have to do that. So I think that is fertile ground, and we need to keep exploring that. I think there are people who are exploring that. We need to keep it going.
There's also a lesson here too, is that we've come to the point where we judge software by the community that supports it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I made a kind of a 3-month long effort to build a community of developers, and my focus was on breadth, you know, of languages, and not not changing it or evolving it. I said, let's hold it still so that all the different developers can get caught up. And that wasn't a good community building strategy. And people are, you know, people look at Fit and they say, well, you know, where's the community? The community seems to be fitness. And, you know, so, you know, there was a fork, and that fork turned out to have a righter strategy than mine. And, but does that mean it's dead? No, it means it just, you know, it just spawned its progeny, and that's where the action is.
All right. Well, thanks so much, James Shore and Ward Cunningham, for sitting and talking to me about fit and fitness today.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. And this has been another episode of Hansel Minutes. I'll see you again next week.